Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I'm ready to do the first 24 verses. I'm not sure we'll make it all the way. But let me just sort of set the stage, just show you how the Lord works. I mentioned I did have a funeral today, and it was probably for nobody that you know, but it was a father-in-law of a lady that I used to work with. And she called me a couple weeks ago. He died back on November the 16th. And they had him cremated, and they had his. We had a service today out at Flint Memorial in the chapel. I praise the Lord; it was heated. I mean, it was 50 degrees, but it was sure warmer in there than it was outside. But I went over last week and met with his widow, and he had three sons. He had a daughter that went to heaven several years ago when she was quite young. When I do a funeral for somebody I'd never met, and no, I try to meet with the family and learn some things about them. And I walked away from that meeting with his wife and his three sons, and with knowing him a little bit. He was a man that lived by his values. He was taught his values by his grandmother, who raised about 10 kids by herself. Her husband walked out on her. And then this guy's dad was the middle child and actually quit school, went to work, and helped his mom raise all his siblings. And so from his grandmother and his dad, there was values put into this man that he lived by. His whole life, he was very involved in Boy Scouts, and so the theme that I used for the part of the service where I talk about the person was the values that he lived by, and I mentioned three. He and I tried to tie him into his Boy Scouting experience. He always believed in being prepared. He always believed in doing your best, and he always believed in taking care of others. Family and friends. And the reason I bring that up is tonight in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees again, and he's comparing the values that they live by and the values that are associated with the kingdom of God. And he's saying, you don't have the right values. If you look in the mirror if you look at the kingdom of God and then look at the mirror and you compare the values that you're living by and the values that you should live by as members of God's kingdom, you'll see there's a dichotomy there. They don't match. You don't have the right values. And if we get through verse 24, we're going to talk about three of them tonight. We'll just see how far we get. So Luke chapter 14, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. So he was invited to a meal at one of the chief Pharisees' house, one of the rulers of the Sanhedrin, probably one of the chief Pharisees, to eat. And it was on the Sabbath day. They didn't cook on the Sabbath day, but they still ate, but they ate food that was prepared the day before. Most Bible scholars think this was at breakfast time. So he was invited into this Pharisee's house. Again, not out of the kindness of the Pharisee's heart, not to be a friend to Christ. Notice what it says there in the last part. They watched him. The Pharisees were always on the lookout to try to catch Jesus in something that they could hurl against him. Try to catch him in something that they could point to the people and say, see, he has no respect for the law. He has no respect for our traditions. And so they invited him to keep their eye on him, again, to try to catch him in something. Verse 2, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And so he was paralyzed in some way. And again, we've talked about it before. They usually ate in an open courtyard, and there were usually people gathered around the courtyard that were not invited to the meal, were not invited to the feast, but that could stand around and watch, and the folks that were at the meal could see them, and the folks that were gathered that weren't invited could hear what was going on at the meal. So this, again, was the case. He was in this Pharisee's house. There were invited guests that were there, but there were also people standing around watching, listening to what was going on. And one of these that were gathered there, a certain man, had this physical condition. And so, again, the Pharisees had invited him there to put Jesus on the spot, catch him in something. But I like what he did often. He put them on the hot seat. In verse 3, he asked them a question. And Jesus, answering, spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? So he asked him a question. Here's a man with a dropsy. Would it be lawful for him to be healed on the Sabbath day? Now, of course, however they answered him would cause a problem. If they said, sure, it's okay to heal on the Sabbath day, well, they taught it wasn't. They taught you couldn't do anything, not even a good thing, on the Sabbath day. They had very strict rules about what you could do, how far you could walk, what kind of activity, and healing was frowned upon. We've read about it before. You know, on another occasion, somebody said, hey, there's 6 days to work. If you're going to heal somebody, why don't you do it in one of those 6 days and not on the Sabbath? But so if they would have said, yes, it's okay, you know, they would have been criticized by their fellow Pharisees, and they would go against what they actually taught. But if they said, no, it's not lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, well, they faced the ill-feeling of all the people. Because here was somebody that was sick, here was somebody that needed healing, and the Pharisees were saying, oh no, it's not lawful on the Sabbath day to take care of this man. So rather than answer the question and get into trouble, whichever way they answered, and they held their peace. They didn't answer him. They just remained silent. But notice what Jesus did. And Jesus took him and healed him and let him go. So rather than let the Pharisees' non-answer stop him from working to meet the need of this man, Jesus took matters into his own hands, as he always did, and healed him. Said, hey, just go your way. Don't hang around because somebody's going to criticize us for doing this. Just you know, go home. Leave. But then he turned back to the Pharisees because he knew what they were thinking. He knew why they didn't answer the question. He knew that, yeah, if they said one thing, you know, the Pharisees would be mad at him. If they said another thing, the people would be mad at him. So he turned to them, he said, and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Now, again, Jesus, the value that Jesus is dealing with in these verses is the value of what's more important, the institution of the Sabbath day or man, okay? And so, again, he asked the question, is it lawful to heal? They didn't give him an answer. So Jesus healed the man. And then he said, let me just ask you a question. If your donkey or if your oxen fall into a pit, and there were open pits, there were open wells, there were open holes in this country at this time, and so an animal falling into a pit was a commonplace occurrence. So Jesus said, if you have an animal that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, every single one of you, even though it was the Sabbath, would pull that animal out of the pit. I mean, you would just do it. You would do it without thinking about it because that animal is valuable to you. It's your property. I mean, you use it to produce income. You use it to carry loads. You use it to plow. You use it for various things to produce income. And because it's valuable to you, even though you might think it would be wrong because it was the Sabbath and it would be working, so to speak, even though you might think it was wrong, you would value the animal more than the Sabbath, and you would pull that animal out of the pit. And so again, he asked him a question, and they could not answer him again to these things. They kept silent because they knew he was right. They knew that if one of their animals fell into a pit, they would pull him out. And so again, Jesus was trying to say, now look, you live by the value that the institution of the Sabbath and the rules and the traditions that you've associated with the Sabbath are more important than a sick man that needs healing. And you would stop me from healing this man just because it's the Sabbath, and yet you'll go out and you'll pull your animals who you value out of a pit on the Sabbath day, and you want to criticize me because I've healed somebody that I value. Again, he was trying to get them to see how their values were different than his values. How their values were different than the values that are part of the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Now, here we're going to talk about the values of pride and humility. Okay? Again, pride would be a value that they would have. Pharisees were very proud. They were very proud. And yet the kingdom of God teaches us that we need to be humble. And so in verse 7, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them. So let me just go into a little bit of detail. So when you came to a feast back in this day, they had couches that you laid on with your head toward the table. And there were three people couches, okay? The center position was the most prominent position, okay? I mean, the most important people were supposed to sit in the center of the couch. And then the second most important was supposed to sit on the left, and the least important was supposed to sit on the right. And so Jesus saw these folks that were invited to this feast, how they all sought to sit in the center seats of the couches. They wanted the place of prominence. And so when he saw that, he said in verse 8, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, set not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Jesus said, now look, when somebody invites you to a feast, to a wedding, something like that, don't go immediately and sit in the best seat. Because somebody more important than you may come, and the host will come and say, hey, this guy is more important than you. He deserves to sit in the best seat. You need to move down. Jesus said, it'd be a whole lot better off for you to go and find the lowest seat. And then if you're more important than somebody else, the host will come to you and tell you to move up. Now, Herschel Hobbs, he writes a commentary for our Sunday school lessons. I also have a book that he wrote, a commentary he wrote on Luke, and he's one of the authors that I studied to get ready for Wednesday night. And so he said, in this book he wrote, he said, now I want you to think about this scenario. I want you to think about somebody that comes in and sits in the center of the couch. But somebody more important than him comes. And so the host comes and says, hey, you need to move over to the left seat because this guy's more important than you are and he's going to sit in the center. So that person is abased. He tried to lift himself up with pride and he sort of got put down. Another person comes in and sits on the right-hand side, one the least most important seat. And the host comes in and says, oh no, you're more important than sitting on the right. You're not important enough to sit in the center, but you move over to the left. Okay? So here's what Herschel Hobbs says. He was a pastor in Oklahoma City, had a big church down here. He said, they both ended up in the left seat. But one of them was moved down, and one of them was moved up. They both ended up in the same seat. And so what Jesus was saying, look, when you come, you seek out the lowest seat. You find the lowest room, as it says here in the parable, or the lowest seat, and you might be lifted up. But if in pride you seek out the highest seat, in all probability, you're going to be put down. And so again, Jesus said, that's the values that are associated with the kingdom of God. Not pride, but humility. Go sit in the lowest seat. If you need to be moved up, you'll be moved up. But if you go and sit in the highest, you'll be moved down. I guarantee you, that's the way God works. If somebody with pride takes the best seat, God will send somebody more important, so they'll be put down. All right, now, the last one, the last value that Jesus is going to talk to the Pharisees about is the value of selfishness versus generosity. Again, selfishness is the Pharisees, they wanted the praise of men. They were selfish in that regard. And Jesus said, that's not a value in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the value of generosity is more important than selfishness. So look at what he says in verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him. So he was talking to the chief Pharisee, okay, the one that invited him. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Talking about heaven. And so here's what Jesus was saying. Hey, again, he was talking to the guy that invited him to this feast. He said, I look around. I see the people that you've invited. You've invited your rich neighbors. You've invited people that can pay you back. Why did you invite them? Did you invite them just so that they would invite you and you could go to a meal at their house? If that's why you invited them, you're not going to have any reward. When you have a feast like this, he said, invite the people that can't pay you back. Invite the people that aren't going to have a feast that they can invite you to. Invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Those that are not going to have an occasion because they don't have the means to invite you to something like this, that's where your blessing is going to come from. Now, look at what he says in verse 16. Then said he unto him, okay? And again, he's talking to the man that says, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Back in this day, the way it worked, when you invited somebody to supper, you invited them ahead of time, and then when supper was ready, you sent your service and said, okay, now come now, everything's ready. So these were people that were invited, that had agreed to come. Now the meal was ready, and he sent his servants out and said, okay, go tell everybody to come because everything was ready. So they went out, the servants did, to tell them that, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so again, they had agreed to come, okay? They were the ones that were invited first to the feast. And now the servants are there saying, okay, come on, everything's ready. And they begin to make excuses. Oh, I bought a piece of ground. Nobody would buy a piece of ground without seeing it. I mean, this doesn't make sense. Nobody would buy 5 yoke of oxen without proving them. It doesn't make sense. The third guy probably had the best reason not for coming. He got married, although he could probably brought his new wife with him to the feast. But they began to make excuse. So the servant, verse 21, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Okay? And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, Jesus is talking, he's talking about this man that said, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Probably a Pharisee. Probably one that says, oh, I'm going to be one of those that eat bread in the kingdom of God because I'm a Pharisee. I keep the law. I protect the law. I help people to keep the law. If anybody's going to sit at bread in the kingdom of God, if anybody's going to eat bread in heaven, I'm going to be one of them. So Jesus said, hey, let me tell you a story. And so he told this story. Man had invited people to come. And again, here's the picture that Jesus is painting. Said, hey, there's going to be a feast in the kingdom of God. There's going to be a dinner in the kingdom of God. And the Jews, you Pharisees, which were my chosen people, who I gave the law to, who, you know, are the keepers of the law, so to speak, you were the first ones invited. You had a place at this supper. You were the first ones that were invited. But now I've come to show you the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did, to show us the kingdom of God. I've come to show you the kingdom of God, and you've refused it. You're like these guests that begin to make excuse for not coming. Everything's ready now. I mean, you look forward to it through the prophets. You look forward to it, to all the pictures that we painted for you in the Old Testament. The kingdom of God was coming, and we were getting everything ready. Now everything's ready. I'm here. What Jesus was about to do was going to usher in the kingdom of God. And yet, you that were first invited refuse to come. So the master, God, is going to say, okay, they're not going to come. They're making excuses not to come. So you go out into the city. You go out into the other Jews who are not, you know, as self-important as the Pharisees, who don't work in the temple, who have no responsibility to make sure that people keep the law. He described them as the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go invite them. Jesus, there were some Jewish people that believed on Christ. They weren't the religious leaders. I'm sure some of them, Nicodemus did. He was a Pharisee. But most of them didn't. It was the common, poor, maimed, halt, blind Jews that believed in the Master, because he healed some of them. They saw God working. They weren't hung up with all the laws and the traditions. They were looking for the Savior. And in Jesus, they saw him. And so they came. And the servant came back to the master. Hey, we've invited all those in the city, but there's still room. What do you want us to do now? And the master said, I want you to go outside the city. I want you to go into to go out into the highways and the hedges. Go out and get the Gentiles. Those that aren't part of my chosen people. You go out and you invite them to the feast. And in the parable, they came. They came. And then Jesus said, notice what he says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, none of those which were invited first. Now remember, he was talking to this Pharisee who was one of the ones that were bidden first to the kingdom of God, who should have understood more than anybody else what the kingdom of God was all about. He said, none of you that were bidden at first, you're not going to eat at that table because you've rejected me. You refuse to receive me. You're not going to get to eat at the table. And again, just remember who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to the Pharisee. He said, oh, I'm looking forward to eating at the kingdom, at the table in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, well, don't look too forward to it because you're not going to be there. You've rejected me. And again, the values of this world are not the values of the kingdom of God. They're not. They are different. That's why God tells us in his word, hey, to the world, you're going to look peculiar. To the world, you're going to look odd because you're not going to have the same values that the world does. You're not going to have those same values. The values are going to be different. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.